We say hello to our friend Trey Wingo. Been a minute. Trey, how you been?
How are you guys? Great to be back with you.
Yeah, doing fantastic. Half Forgotten History, that's the podcast. You're doing stuff with Caesar. So let's start with that. What all are you doing these days? Because I know you're everywhere.
Well, I work with my good friends at Caesar Sportsbook. They gave me the greatest title ever, Chief Trends Officer and Brand Ambassador.
Nice.
What that means is I help people talk about football. Like, I don't set the odds, or much greater people than me, but like, for example, the Chiefs coming off a loss last week are actually a favorite in San Francisco when they head up there this week. Why? Well, because the Chiefs have won 13 straight games against NFC opponents. That's the second longest interconference streak in the history of the NFL. The only one that's longer was 17 straight by the Patriots from 2005 to 2009. That kind of stuff. That's sort of the stuff that I help people understand why the odds are the way they are. The podcast is going great. Thank you. We just dropped Luke Kuechly yesterday, and that's doing great. Already over 100,000 views on YouTube, and work for Pro Football Network as well. Mark Schlereth and I have a show on Spotify Live every Monday at 6 o'clock Eastern. And I also work with the 33rd Team, which is a great collection of former players, coaches, and GMs put together by the guy that used to run the NFL Today on CBS. So we're excited about the stuff we're doing there as well.
Very, very cool. You know, you talk about some of the odds and, like, helping people with that and talk about football. I mean, last weekend in the NFL was an interesting week because I think the dogs were a-barking last week.
Yeah. Well, listen, we had two dogs of 7.5 or more win. The Jets went up to Green Bay and ended the Packers' 15-game home regular season winning streak at Lambeau. And then the Steelers were 10-point underdogs against the Bucs and Tom Brady, and they came away and hung on to that win 20-18. Right now, by the way, for the year, if NFL underdogs were baseball players, they'd all be in the Hall of Fame. They're batting 400. 40%
wow.
Straight out wins for the underdogs this year. It's been absolutely crazy, and it just shows you the parity in the NFL right now.
Trey, you've covered the NFL for a long time, and I look at this season, you know, right here in Nashville, as we're watching the Titans, and they're trying to blow, you know, second half leads, and they've won three in a row, and it's hard to figure out where they're at. But it's honestly, outside of a handful of a couple of teams, the Bills, maybe the Chiefs, put them in there, it's hard to figure out exactly what this league is right now, because parity, I think, is the best that it's been in a long time. Would you agree with that?
I would. And, like, I would even say, look, definitively, how strongly do I believe that two teams have a chance to go very far in the postseason? I believe it's the Bills and the Chiefs. People say, well, what about the Eagles? Listen, the Eagles look great, but you know, a lot of teams go 6-0, and a lot of teams don't win at all. Like, for example, the last undefeated team to actually win the Super Bowl was the Colts in 2006 in Super Bowl 41. So it's great. They got off to a wonderful start, but let's just go through the last three Super Bowl champions, right? After a loss in Nashville in 2019, in that crazy game when there was a block kick returned and all this kind of stuff, the Chiefs fell to 7-4, and then they went on to not lose again and went to win Super Bowl 54. The year after that, in 2020, Tom Brady and the Bucs could not find their way through their first 12 games. They were 7-5 through 12 games, and then didn't lose again, found a way to go on to win the Super Bowl. Just last year, after Robert Woods went down and they brought in Odell Beckham Jr., the Rams suffered their first three-game losing streak ever under Sean McVay, and no one could figure out what they were going to do. They figured it out, went on to win. So it's nice to have a great start, but it really doesn't mean anything. It's who's playing best at the end of the season. I do like the Chiefs and the Bills more than almost anybody. And after that, right now, it's really wide open.
Yeah, you're right, Trey. The NFL is more so a war of attrition. Whoever can hold on the longest toward the end. That's why you typically see, you know, come late November, December, these teams start to separate themselves. You find out who the better teams are in the National Football League and who's not. But one question I do want to ask you, and we talked about this yesterday in regards to Tom Brady. He had to answer some questions yesterday, and he definitively said, listen, I don't plan on retiring no time soon. Do you think that's his true sentiment? Do you think because I told the guys, I said, listen, if the season continues to go the way it's going, I don't think Tom is retiring. I think he wants to go out the way he wants to go out, and it's on a winning note. I don't think that he's going to you know, the Bucks end up not making a playoff and then Tom Brady sort of retires and go do his media stuff. I think he wants to leave out on top. Do you think he retires after this season either way?
Well, first of all, you know better than anyone. I think everyone wants to finish out on top. Most exactly. of the time, you don't get to choose. You know what I mean? You don't get to choose. There are very few John Elways and Peyton Mannings in the world that ride out a winner the way those two guys did. I mean, I've been sort of saying this jokingly all year, so bear with me. I think Tom Brady's already retired, and he's still playing. I mean, you know, come on. Like, he takes every Wednesday off? That's installment day. You know, he took 11 days off of practice. Jason Kelce does a podcast with his brother, Travis, and he had a great quip because, you know, there was this line of Brady, like, just absolutely annihilating his offensive linemen on the sidelines at Pittsburgh. Just in their faces. You know, at some point, if I'm one of those guys, and I say, bro, like, maybe if you hadn't skipped training camp, maybe if you're not missing every Wednesday, maybe you hadn't missed the Saturday walkthrough to go to Bob Kraft's wedding, maybe this might be better, you know? I get it. Tom Brady's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. I don't think that's ever going to be disputed because of the numbers he's put up, especially the Super Bowl rings. But at some point, you're either in or you're out. And I don't know right now whether Tom is in or out, no matter what he says.
Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars. This team is a, if you look at their roster, I mean, they got a really, really good young roster. But the key word is a good young roster. What do you think about them moving forward?
Well, it's interesting, right? What you just said is so important, and you know this. And my friend Teddy Bruschi used to say this all the time. It's one thing to have a bunch of good players. It's another thing to have a good team. And I think that we have a bunch of good players in Jacksonville. The question is, how quickly can they become a good team? And this week, by the way, is one of those games where you just wonder if the folks in Vegas know something the rest of us don't. Because the Giants are 5-1. Jacksonville has basically been treading water. And they're a 3.5-point favorite against a 5-1 team. And that's one of those ones that makes you go, huh. You know, usually somebody somewhere knows something. And it feels like somebody knows something in terms of this game. I like Jacksonville. I love the fact that they actually have an actual head coach, you know, this year. Someone that's actually interested and is good at doing it, as opposed to just standing there yelling at players. I think this is a real pivotal week for Jacksonville. If they can hold on here, I think then things get really interesting in that entire division, the AFC South.
We're talking to Trey Wingo, talking some NFL football here. So, Trey, on a related
note. Real quickly, before I say anything else, I guess say Mike Vrabel's a hero for the reply all to that email? Like, that's the hero we need because I get it. Like, I understand what the situation with Tua. You want to make sure they're protected. Well, you messed that up on Sunday against the Bills when he should have never come back in that game. But, I mean, like, just call roughing the passer the way it's written. Flung to the ground. Grady Jarrett did not sling Tom Brady to the ground. He tackled him around the waist and brought him down. There's a difference. Chris Jones, in that game against the Raiders, he took the ball away from Derek Carr with his right hand, so Derek Carr no longer is protected of a passer because you need to have the ball to be a passer. And then as he's falling down, he realizes, oh, crap, my whole body weight's going to go down on a Derek Carr. I'll reach out with my left arm and brace the impact. That's literally teaching tape. Like, every defensive coordinator would say, this is what you need to do in this scenario. And somehow that was roughing the passer. So Mike Vrabel is the hero we need right now.
Big time. So, Trey, on that note, do you think that there should be the ability to review roughing the passer?
I think there should, but even if they allow it, let's go back to when they said you could review pass interference, right? I think it was a Texans-Ravens game that year where literally Marlon Humphrey, I think, stripped DeAndre Hopkins naked in the end zone. and they, you know, it was so blatantly obvious that was pass interference, and they challenged it, and it still wasn't called pass interference. They're just not going to do it. I'll tell you this along the lines. I think the Kansas City Chiefs proposal a few years ago of there being a sky judge is the greatest idea in the world because the officials don't see the game, guys, the way we do. They see it on a linear level. We see it on sort of a 180, 360 level. You know, we see the game differently. There's a former NFL official who I worked with in the past who said when he was working, he thought, man, we do a really good job. And then he started working in television and watched the game the way we watched, and he said, we are awful at this, okay? They don't get to see the game the way we do, the way the fans see it on television. It's completely different, and I just wish they would allow the officials to be helped. because then if they see the game the way everyone else sees it, they'll realize, well, that wasn't right, and it makes them better. And everybody's so afraid they're going to be, you know, it's going to pick on the refs. We want to help them. You know, it's like Jerry Maguire, help me help you.
Yes.
Let's do this together.
All right, let's finish on this. Your thoughts on the Colts as you see it now. This is obviously a huge swing game for the Titans, trying to figure out how to stay in control of the AFC South, hold off the younger Jags, still be better than the Colts, even though the Titans look like they've got plenty of issues. But it looks like the Colts have issues as well.
They do, and they start with the offensive line. I mean, you know, the first couple of games I was like, man, Matt Ryan is completely terrible. He's washed. And then I started watching again. I'm like, he's under constant duress, like constant duress. And over the last couple of games, the numbers he's put up, like outside of that Thursday night debacle, which was just the worst, I think he's actually playing pretty well. He's slinging it all over the yard. I think he's second in passing yards right now in the NFL. The Colts get Jonathan Taylor back. That's massive for them. Their biggest issue is offensive line. And if you guys can get to the quarterback, which is obviously missing Harold Landry, is such a big deal, but Jeffrey Simmons is a big part of this. So if they can keep constant pressure on Matt Ryan, I think the Tennessee Titans win this game.
He's Trey Wingo with Caesars, Half Forgotten Histories, the podcast, the Pro Football Network as well. Trey, always enjoy the chats. Appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
You got it, guys. Always a pleasure. Take care.